listening to the Thornapple Valley Church podcast. Thank you for joining us. Our hope is for you to be encouraged and to connect with God during this message. If you'd like to know more about Thornapple Valley Church, visit tvcweb.com.
Well, good morning and happy new year. Welcome to those joining us online, and for those brave enough to come out in the weather today, welcome to you guys here in this room. 2021, a beginning of a new year. Finally, we can say hindsight is 2020. I've been waiting quite a while to say that joke. Well, it's clear that we live through a unique time in history, and it's also clear that the impact of 2020 is not over. But as we enter this new year, I have hope. I have hope that this year can be different. And I actually feel this way every year because I love the transition into a new year. I love how it's full of hope and expectation that this year it's going to be different. How many of you guys have already thought that? This year it's going to be different. This year I'm going to finally make that diet happen, maybe the exercise routine happen. We don't want to remember that we thought that way in 2020 and we thought that way in 2019. And we thought that way a few years along the way in the past. That's okay. It's not like last year. This year, it's going to be different. But if we want this year to be different, we have to begin to ask the question, how can I create a new me? So this past year, old age hit me. I turned 33. Before you laugh, it's been all downhill. I had to get an MRI for something going on, and when I got this MRI, they found out that I had fluid along my optic nerves. So I thought this sounded kind of odd, so I went to my trusty WebMD, like we all do, to find out all medical knowledge. And one of the side effects for fluid along your optic nerves was intracranial hypertension, so just known as too much pressure in the brain. So, you know, one of my side effects of 2020 was too much brain pressure, so watch out in your anxiety. Could go straight to your optic nerves. So anyway, my neurologist said, you know, you really need to go to an eye doctor and, you know, get your eyes dilated, get this checked out, make sure everything's okay. So I went to the eye doctor, and he did not properly prepare me for what was about to happen. Now, I know many of you guys have gotten your eyes dilated. It's probably a normal procedure for many, but I haven't been to an eye doctor since I was a little kid, and all I remember was just looking at all those letters, and all you had to do was just read letters off. So as I was getting my eyes dilated, my eyes started to get red and water and burn, and the lights in the room just got brighter and brighter. I'm actually kind of feeling that right now. But anyway, they just got brighter and brighter and brighter. Pretty soon, my close-up vision just started to completely fade. The true horror is I couldn't even see my cell phone screen well enough to play games or do social media while I was waiting, which I'm sure only added to my intracranial hypertension that I was experiencing. But anyway, long story short, the doctor was like, you're okay, everything's fine, and you can go ahead and leave and drive home like this. Apparently, you don't need to see anything up close to drive, by the way. I thought that was pretty interesting. But at any rate, what I thought was pretty fascinating and crazy was how just in a matter of moments, my vision was completely changed. What I could see and how I could see was completely different. There's this branch of science that deals with the properties of visible and invisible light called optics. I want to speak for a moment about optics when it comes to our vision. See, for some of us, our optics are so bad that we don't even see things that are visible. And we can know that's true if we keep making the same mistake over and over again, and we have family and friends that say, "What were you thinking?" See, if you have people around us who were saying, the mistake we were making was just a terrible decision, and we think it was a great idea, we probably aren't even seeing things that are visible. But then sometimes it's the invisible all around us that totally catches us off guard. And I wonder what it would look like if we could step into a zone where we could see both the visible and the invisible all around us. There's a moment in the life of Jesus where they bring this blind man to him, and there's this fascinating journey towards sight that I think really relates to our own journey. And I want to read that for a moment with you guys. It comes from the book of Mark, chapter 8, verse 22. and says, they came to Bethsaida, and some people brought a blind man and begged Jesus to touch him. He took the blind man by the hand and led him outside the village. When he had spit on the man's eyes, by the way, that's super disturbing. When he had spit on the man's eyes and put his hands on him, Jesus asked, do you see anything? He looked up and said, I see people. They look like trees walking around. Once more, Jesus put his hands on the man's eyes. Then his eyes were opened, his sight was restored, and he saw everything clearly. I love this story because as complicated and as crazy as it is, Jesus gives sight to a man that is blind. I mean, can you even imagine going through life, not being able to see anything, completely blind, and then suddenly being able to see colors and people and landscapes, see the food that you're eating? I mean, your perspective would completely change. And I want just for a moment for us to look at three lenses that will change our perspective and our ability to see clearly as we enter 2021. The first lens I want us to step into this year is the lens of optimism. Now, optimism may seem pretty simplistic, but optimism will change the way we see reality. I think most of us have like a bent toward being more optimistic or pessimistic. And recently, my daughter, Hebsey, and I, we were watching this show called Winnie the Pooh. Many of you may be familiar with the show Winnie the Pooh. It's been around for years and years. It's got these really cute animal characters on it, and one of the animal characters, his name is Eeyore. He's this donkey, super pessimistic and down. Even if life is going well for him, he's certain that it's on the cusp of falling apart. I personally have such endearing feelings for Eeyore, and I just wonder, if you've watched this show, can you remind me what holds Eeyore's tail on? It's a nail. And all I got to say is, if you have to go through life with a nail in your tush, I think you all have all rights to feeling a little bit pessimistic and down. But the reality is, I know that for some people, this last year has been really challenging. And I've heard stories of people who have gone through things that I can't even comprehend or imagine being in their shoes. Some of the emotional, relational, physical challenges people have experienced. But I think sometimes, and for some of us, if we're not careful, pessimism can feel like realism. We don't even think we're being pessimistic. We just think we're looking at reality. And I think that's me. I'm a hopeless optimist until I hit some sort of wall, and then I'm just a realist. I don't want to call it a pessimist because, you know, being a realist just has a better tone to it. In fact, I think pessimists, even though they say everything is going to go bad, actually seem shocked when it does go bad. And you know that's true because they get angry and upset, and they'll say, I told you that was going to happen. I just knew it. Have you ever said something like that before? I know I have. Pessimism is more than just believing bad things happen. It's actually a posture that ensures the worst scenario happens. Optimists have this really curious posture toward life. They're not shocked when things go bad. It's not like, oh, what happened? I thought everything was just going to be perfect and turn out so well. Optimists understand that things are going to go bad sometimes. It's not a denial of the difficulties of life. They know there's going to be obstacles. They know there's going to be challenges. And in some ways, it's interesting because optimists even have a positive relationship at times to problems. Problems are just an opportunity to bring a solution. And in some ways, problems are just a way to prove what you're made of. I wonder if the reason our life isn't moving forward is that we don't believe that our future can be different from our past, or that we have this cynical or pessimistic view of the future. You know, even this in this moment from this story, as they're bringing this man to Jesus, there's this posture that life can be better. Something could change. And I just wonder if I was there or if you were there, if we would just be like, oh, we've been blind. This guy's been blind. You know, nothing's going to change. Nothing's going to be different. It's just the way that it's going to be. And I think this actually brings us to the second dynamic I want to talk about with optimism. And that's optimists believe they have the power to change their fate. They have the power to change their future. And by the way, if you choose to live an optimistic life, studies show that you have 35% chance of living a longer and healthier life, simply by the way, because of the way you view life. So even if you're getting it wrong, you come out ahead in the end. And if you choose optimism, you may have to ask the question, you know, where does faith fit into all of this? Because there are moments in life where life is just bigger than us. And if 2020 has told me anything, it's that I need a community. I need a tribe of people around me that's pointing me in the direction of my faith, in the direction of God. I need people who will hold me accountable in my relationship with God. Optimism is believing that God has placed in you everything that you need to live the life that God has called you to live. And faith is believing that in those moments where you feel like you've taken your last step, you've taken all that you can take in life, there's a God that's with you. He's never going to abandon you. He's never going to leave you. He's there to pick you up, to take you that last step. He's never going to run out on you. There's this powerful force when you live a life that's optimistic, that's fueled by faith, that nothing can stop you. And I want to challenge us as we enter this new year to choose this lens of optimism, to just believe that this is going to be a great year in my life. Optimism is one of the most critical lenses for transforming the way that we see life and the way that we live. And another lens is opportunity. The way we view problems and see problems in our life, that's the lens of optimism. But how we relate to inconvenience or interruptions, that's the lens of opportunity. Have you ever had your life all planned out, or at least your day? One of the great challenges in life is that people and viruses or vacation cancellations, if these things didn't happen, then you know everything would just turn out perfectly. But problems happen, and people get in the way. Have you ever noticed that every time you meet a new human being, they just start interrupting your life and creating problems? I mean, I love people. They're awesome. I'm absolutely rooting for them. But have you ever wondered and noticed that maybe humans may be the greatest thing keeping you from achieving your greatness? I mean, I have the most adorable 4-year-old interruption and inconvenience in my life. And actually, as I was writing this part of the message, I was working from home, and I had my daughter, Hebsy, at home with me, and I decided to set us up for success. So I put on a movie for her, and I put out some toys, and I barricaded her in with snacks. Extremely unhealthy ones, too. So I barricaded her in, and I went back to writing. And without fail, she came up the basement stairs every 3 minutes going, "Mom, Mom, Mom." So I did what all good moms do, and the first thing I tried was bribery. When she came up the second time saying, "Mom, Mom, Mom," the second time I tried the gruff voice just to see how that would work. And then the third time she came up, I decided, maybe a threat would work. Somewhere between the third and the fourth time of her coming up the stairs, I decided to actually read what I was writing about interruptions and met her on the stairs and said, "Okay, I'm not going to interrupt her. I'm going to hear her out, hear what she wants to say." She says, "Mom, I want a kiss, and I made you a picture." See how we engage these inconveniences and interruptions that come along our way is how we engage opportunity. Here Jesus in the story is being inconvenienced by a bunch of people who bring a blind man to him. And I think it'd be easy enough for Jesus to say, "I have a huge agenda here. I am God. I mean, I can't be inconvenienced by the problem of one person. I have a lot to do." And the beauty of the story of Jesus is weaved in with all these inconveniences and interruptions that create opportunities along the way. I wonder what it would look like for us if we started to see these inconveniences and interruptions as doorways of opportunity. Every time we got inconvenienced and interrupted, instead of getting angry and upset and saying, "You're interrupting my schedule, I have an agenda to keep," actually just saw it as an opportunity knocking at our door and chose to engage it. And saw maybe what God had for us with that interruption. And I want to challenge us this year to engage those interruptions and see what opportunities maybe God might have for us there. There's a third lens, and I think it's the most difficult one because optimism and opportunity can kind of pass us in a positive way. The third lens I want to talk about is offense. See, the third lens that will change how we see everything, it will transform our optics, is offense. Those of us who are easily offended struggle to see the future clearly because offense will blur our sight more than anything. Let's go back to this story for just a moment. It says these people brought this blind man to Jesus to touch him, and it says that Jesus took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the village, and this is when he had spit on the man's eyes. And I just have to pause here for a moment and just say, I struggle with this part of the story because it feels wrong. And I don't think there's anyone here sitting in this room or watching online that says, it seems pretty normal to me to just go and spit on somebody. And I have to just be clear. I mean, I know it's in the Bible and everything, but I just don't think we should spit on people. And there's just something so strange about spit. I mean, think about it. Right now, your mouth is full of spit. I mean, it's your spit, so you're probably okay with it, but your mouth is full of spit, and you're swallowing it all the time. But if you were to spit out your spit and put it in a glass, you wouldn't want to drink your own spit. I mean, not enough money in the world would motivate me to drink my spit once it's out. Like, once it's out, it's not mine. I don't know what it is. That's how I feel about mine. I can't even begin to tell you how I'd feel about somebody else's. So I love reading this story and trying to make sense of this because this guy, he's blind, but he's not deaf. So he's hearing Jesus spit and come toward him. And he can't run. And then he also has this just keen sense of touch and feel. So he feels the spit. And then Jesus asked him, "Do you see anything?" And it says he looked up and he says, "I see people. I see men walking like trees." He had partial sight. Is it possible that you've been touched by God but still do not see clearly? That you've had an encounter with God but life is still a blur to you? And then it says that once more Jesus put his hands on the man's eyes, and then he says his eyes were opened, his sight was restored, and he saw everything clearly. What if he had walked away after the first time Jesus touched him? What if he had walked away in anger and offense and said, "Who are you, God, spitting on my face?" I think it's the first and most legitimate option. And I wonder for some of us watching online or here in this room, if we've been offended by God because we prayed, we didn't get the response we wanted, and now we're walking around in anger and offense and half blind because we walked away before God was finished with us. See, I think we want God to be a magician, to work his magic trick and work things in an instant, but most of the work that God does is not instantaneous because God desires a relationship with us. And the work that he does requires him to touch us over and over and over again. God's desire for us is relationship, not magic. And Jesus touched him again and opened his eyes. And if you've been offended by God, I want to challenge you to lean back in and trust God that he has not abandoned you. He has not let you down. You just need to trust him with this process. But most of us were actually offended with each other. Have you ever had a friend or a family member, maybe a parent that's easily offended? Or maybe you're a person who's easily offended. And you know this person really well because it's the person that you walk on eggshells around. And you know that if you say it wrong or you get it wrong, you do it wrong, you're going to make them mad. And some of us, we live with this posture of, you're going to offend me, it's just a question of when. And if we're a person who's easily offended, we cannot step into the future that God has prepared for us because offense will blind us more than anything else. There's a saying in sports, it says the best defense is a good offense. But I think in this case, the best defense is no offense. Like the best way to protect your future is to refuse to be offended by people. One of the things I know in life is that if you're a person who's easily offended, it may be hard to see past your hurt or believe that anyone else has experienced as much hurt or pain as you've experienced. And it's true, offense is not fair. Not everyone will go through the same amount of pain or hurt in life. But we all have to encounter our pain. We all have to encounter our hurt that we go through in life and decide what kind of lasting impact it's going to have on us. The second thing is that people who are offended actually limit their own capacity. When you're offended, you lose your ability to have a greater impact on the world. And it's a strange thing, but when we live in offense, we actually live in fear because we remember what happened to us and we never forget it. Have you ever had a friend that's easily offended? One of the things that you realize is that it may be hard to go deep with them. And if you're that person who's easily offended, you may find it hard to have those deep relationships that you so crave because the inability to forgive limits our capacity for deep friendships. And offense makes it difficult for us to see the potential in other people. Do you start out a relationship with, I don't trust you, you have to earn my trust? And if that's you, it may be a good clue that you struggle with being easily offended. Or that you still are holding on to some hurts and pain from a past relationship that's dictating the way that you view your future relationships. The past can never truly be the past until you choose to forgive. And nothing will destroy our sight and clarity like living an offended life. People are human, messy, and imperfect. And even the people who love you the most get it wrong almost daily. Feel free to nudge the person next to you. There's sure to be snarky comments and sarcastic comments and looks that cut at you the wrong way. But if we posture ourselves toward that other person to just say, I'm going to choose to see the best in you, it will change the way we relate. When we let go of offense, we're now free to trust people. And there's something so freeing about this. Because if we want a different you, you need to find a community of people. And here at TVC, we have this thing called tribes. And tribes is a community of people that points you in the direction of God. It's a community that helps you to grow in your relationship with others and your relationship with God. We have all different kinds of tribes. You know, some meet online, some meet around the Bible app. And if you're interested in finding out more about tribes, finding community even here at TVC, you can text the word tribes to the number 77948. We'd love to talk to you about tribes, get you information about tribes, but we all need community. We need to find our tribe. So why don't we make 2021 the year that we choose to use the lens of optimism? We use the lens of opportunity, and we choose the lens of no offense, and we say, God, I'm going to choose to forgive. I'm going to choose to see the best in people. And I'm going to believe that this is going to be a great year in my life. And I'm excited because I believe that there is a new you coming. I believe that there's a new me coming. And I believe that there is a new us coming together. But you can't have a new year without a new you. By the way, I believe that's why Jesus came, because trying to create a new you can be one of the most exhausting and frustrating processes. I want to invite you to make the most important decision of this new year by trusting Jesus with your life, acknowledging that you need his life, that you need his hope, that you need his love, his forgiveness. I believe that's why Jesus stepped into human history, so he could change your future and mine. And would you just bow your head and close your eyes with me for just a moment? If you're here and you're hearing, you're ready for a new you. You're saying, I need this hope. I need this healing. I need God's life in me. I can't do this on my own. I want to invite you to pray this simple prayer, just one sentence to Jesus right now. Would you pray with me? Jesus, I give you my life. Jesus, I give you my life. It's not everything that you and God need to talk about, but it is where everything begins. The moment you give your life, he puts his life in you. And when Jesus comes to live in you, he creates a new you from the inside out. And if you're here in this moment and you just pray this simple prayer, I want to pray for you. God, we need you. We know we can't create a new us without you, without your life in us. And so for those who have prayed for you to come inside them, to create, to ask for your life to be inside them. God, we ask that you would fill them. We know that you will, God, that you'll begin your work that you always have and have already begun. God, we need your presence. We need your hope. We need your healing. God, we ask for you to move in our lives. God, we ask that you would help us to create a new us this year, God. We can't do it without you. So move in our hearts, God. We need you. And God, we also celebrate for those who have made a decision, God. We are so grateful for those who have made a decision for the first time, God, to invite you into their lives, God. Thank you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. And if you did pray that prayer, we do want to celebrate with you. We're so glad that you made that decision today.
Thank you for listening to the Thornapple Valley Church podcast. If you found this message encouraging, we invite you to share it. For more information, visit tvcweb.com.